Is your website purdy?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
Mind your business.
If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening to us any way you're listening. We don't care as long as you're listening, as long as we're helping you. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Actually, still coming soon to Google Play. How soon is now, to quote Morrissey? We're not really sure, but we're all set up on Google Play. We're just waiting for Google Play to do their thing. You can also listen right fresh off the website, our new website, welcometomind.com. Check it out. We have a whole bunch of Easter eggs on there for you, and I promise they are well worth your time. You'll get a few laughs out of it, and if you're not careful, you might learn a thing or two. So let's get ready, okay? Hey. They're worth your time because this is who we are, WYSIWYG. And I hate saying WYSIWYG. That's such a sales cliche anymore. But what you see is what you get. I mean, it's true. We're not normal. Normal only gets you the cliche tried and true. I've referred to the tried and true on this podcast previously and sometimes venomously as the tired and blue. Now, blue is a wonderful color. It happens to be my favorite color. Yet, it's associated with depression, as in, I got the blues. Nobody says, I got the yellows. Oh, man, I got the greens. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't work. You know, I got the blues. We're all kind of used to that, and you know, that's what visitors will think of your website. They'll get the blues if they arrive on your site and merely read the same tired verbiage that we've all grown to know and loathe. However, this verbiage is what we've kind of become comfortable with because so many of us we're afraid to step outside of our comfort zone. And that really is what this podcast is all about. It's become harder and harder to set yourself apart from your competition, and it ain't getting any easier. Can you honestly and substantially answer that question yourself? Who are you? You know, that's the key to this week's podcast. What are you doing to represent your company and your brand in a way that will make people want to keep coming back to your website? We have 5 solid tips for you this week that will get your gears turning and hopefully open your mind to new possibilities for your business in 2016. The great philosophers Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend, John the Ox Entwistle, and Keith Moon posed the lasting question in 1978, who are you? This is what you should be asking yourself in every move you make on your site. How are you representing yourself and your brand? First, let's start with the true first, your first impression. What mood does your website set when people land on it? This is all about the actual design of your website, the aesthetics. Before any visitor even clicks on a button, I don't know, maybe you're kinesthetic and you don't have to click on a button. You can just think and that button will click. You know, more power to you. I've tried, but it just doesn't work. Before any visitor even clicks on a button, that will draw them deeper into your site and what you and your business are truly all about. You know, what mood is being set by your site before all of that? We've discussed on our podcast the importance of the first impression. You must always be cognizant of the fact that any visitor to your site can be turned off and arrive at your competitor's website at the mere click of a button. It's instant gratification. Kind of like laboratory rats, but I digress. Seek out the opinions of people you trust. When you're looking at your website, you want honest opinions. You want to make sure you have people in your own inner circle that will tell you the bad news even when they don't want to, but they know that it's the best They know that it's for the best because they really want to help you. Have them visit your site and give you honest feedback. And listen to that feedback. You know, sometimes it's hard to put ourselves on the other side of ourselves in our business and our own intentions. What do the colors you use say about your business? And what mood do those colors set? Is the layout inviting? Is it conducive in and of itself to people going beyond the page they land on? Do the images reflect people, or do the images merely reflect a product or service? The truth is, you can't properly represent a service without showing people. It can be argued that you can't represent a product without showing people, but sometimes you can, but then it's just the product. Isn't there a person who's going to be using your product? And wouldn't it be nice to show someone using that product? I mean, when it's applicable, reasonable, and honest. First rule of marketing applies here. Sell the sizzle, not the steak. I have a real love-hate relationship with this statement because this can be taken to ridiculous extremes, admittedly, and it has been. But if you're providing a product, doesn't it make sense to show an image of a person putting the product to good use? If you're providing a service, doesn't it make sense to show an image of engagement with a person representing the actual delivery of the service? I'm not talking about cheesy images. I'm talking about real images of you and your clients, you and your customers, the product, your service, and the person who is benefiting from it. Scrutinize your own site with regard to this and always have people you trust give you honest feedback. Sometimes we don't come off the way we intend to come off, and only people can give us that other perspective, can give us the perspective from those receiving the information, and therefore help us get better with this in our chosen business arena. Now, secondly, once you've made your first impression, what are you doing to engage visitors on your website? Are you providing useful information for your visitors? Don't be afraid of this. Seriously, not everyone can do it yourself. Therefore, you shouldn't be afraid of giving some do-it-yourself advice. And I'll explain this. This is the trap that most business owners fall into, playing close to the vest with the hows and whys of what they do. Now, granted, there is proprietary information that you may not want to release, but there's also a lot of basic information out there that anybody can find. And you would rather they find it through you than find it through somebody else and wind up, you know, doing business with somebody else, right? That is the trap, though, that most business owners fall into, playing too close to the vest and not wanting to give up their quote-unquote trade secrets. And granted, like I just said, you know, there is proprietary information that you may not want to share, but look, do you want to know how the great illusionist David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear? Google it. Check it out on YouTube. That old adage, great magicians never reveal their secrets, it hardly even applies anymore because the internet provides the greatest repository of secrets that we've ever seen. Yeah, there's plenty of misinformation, but really, if you're really reading and you're not a sucker for everything that you read, it's really not that hard to figure out what's true and what's bunk. It really isn't. And there is amazing information available to us that in the past, it would have remained a secret. The magician's secret, if you will. The point with this is that you shouldn't be afraid to share at least some of how you do things, mainly if you're offering a service. If you're a home improvement business, for example, why not give some tips on how people can do things themselves? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this at all. Because see, some people are going to be do-it-yourself by nature no matter what you do. Some people just want to do it themselves, so why not offer some solid advice? Now, the argument there is that if someone is committed to do-it-yourself, then they're not going to be your client anyway. Why should you engage them? Here's why. If you give them advice that works, they will learn to trust you And two things can happen. One, inevitably, they're going to encounter a job that they can't do themselves. So if they've been getting good advice from you, who do you think they're going to call? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No, they're going to call you because you've been giving them valid information that has been helping them all along. Not only that, but if they're getting this advice that from you that works, they're going to have friends. They're going to have people that they know who are going to say, "Man, you did a great job. You did a great job, you know, fixing the gutters on your house. You did a great job, you know, drywalling your garage." And I'm just pulling ideas right just on the spur of the moment here. I'm not saying they're the best ideas, but I just want to get your gears turning with regard to do-it-yourself tasks. Because people will look and say, "Wow, you know, you did a great job with that. How'd you do it?" "Well, you know, I got advice from such and such website." Well, that other person then goes to the website and reads the same advice and thinks, "I ain't doing that. I don't want to put up drywall." I mean, personally, I've put up a lot of drywall in my time, and I am a do-it-yourselfer, but I don't really know anyone who, you know, really loves putting up drywall in their spare time. So at the end of the day, they look and say, "I don't want to do that, but these guys look like they know what they're doing. I'll call them and see if maybe they'll do the job." That's how it works. That's how it works online. You know? Everyone is not DIY. Everyone is not a do-it-yourselfer. And those do-it-yourselfers who share this information are basically being spokespeople for you and for your expertise. Yeah, they'll tell people where they got their tips from that allowed them to do such a great do-it-yourself job, you. And then those people will look you up and see what it takes to do that job, and in plenty of cases, they're going to think, "Man, I don't have time to do that, or I just don't want to do that. But these people look like they know what they're doing, and my friend said they were good." I mean, those are great referrals right there. So do not take that for granted. Undoubtedly, many, if not most, of the people that they share it with are not DIY to that extent. And they will see, this is the whole point, they will see and appreciate the time and care that goes into the work you do, and your brand will become imprinted in their minds because you were willing to share that information to begin with. It's truly the opposite of the mindset we've been told that we should have for decades. We give out tips on this podcast every week. We give insight into the work we do. We do as a web development, web design, SEO, and social media company. It's okay for people to know at least some of what goes into your work because you're reaching those people who don't have the time to be do-it-yourselfers, and you're earning trust by showing them that you know what you're doing and that your heart's in the right place. They don't have the time, so they want to pay the right person for their time and expertise. Why not you? Now, third on our list here, my personal favorite, do you show a sense of humor? If you can get everyone to laugh together, you can get everyone to get serious together. That's one of my favorite quotes from Bill Walsh, the legendary coach of the legendary 80s San Francisco 49ers teams, world champions. Humor breaks down walls and allows you to have a deeper level of communication with your audience. You don't have to be a comedian. Just show that you're human. I recently saw the movie Spy, which is a spoof of spy/adventure movies. And it starred Jude Law, Melissa McCarthy, and Jason Statham. And I've liked Jason Statham ever since I was introduced to him in his intense movie roles. Our own beloved Chad Rock introduced me to Jason Statham's brilliance many years ago. And he has a definite screen personality that is unmistakably his own. If you know who he is, you know what I'm talking about. It's intense. In Spy, he completely parodies his screen presence to the point where I honestly don't think anyone can ever top it. No one can spoof Jason Statham because he's done the definitive job, I believe, He's totally aware of how he comes across on screen and was an absolute genius in spoofing himself in this movie. It takes a truly serious actor, someone who cares about his craft, and someone who can put his own ego aside, or her own ego aside, to make fun of themselves. You know? I mean, you take your business seriously, but you can sometimes take it so seriously to where you can kind of squash the humanity of it. And when I watched this movie, I just, that's what I loved most about it, was I completely was not expecting Jason Statham to be this, you know, this comic genius. That's what Jude Law called him, and I absolutely agree. And let's face it, everything can sound better if Jason Statham says it. Here's what we're going to do. I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to walk right in. And I'm going to rip out your effing windows and replace them with something more beautiful and more energy efficient now, aren't I, Tommy? Aren't I, Tommy? Now, I'm not saying that you should make fun of yourself necessarily, but I am saying that you should take a moment and look at your own sense of humor and consider how you can let it shine on your website and make people smile. I'm proud to say that you can visit our Mind website anytime and see numerous examples of this. I'm going to be 49 this year. I've waited my whole life. I shouldn't say waited my whole life. I've worked my whole life to be in a position where I could work with a group of people like this. From the bottom of my heart, I mean that. Look at our Meet the Minds page with our pictures. I encourage you to do that, by the way, when you visit our website. Each one has its own surprise. And those surprises have something to do with each one of us. But we did it not for any other reason than we got a kick out of it. It was honest, and we got a kick out of it, and we thought you would too. It's who we are. We all like to laugh. Smiling is a beautiful thing. How can you make people smile when they visit your website? Don't you want people to smile when they think of you and your business? I think you do. The fourth tip here is broadcasting. What are you doing to broadcast your view and your brand? I had a great conversation with Fabio Cafaro, our PPC expert, yesterday, with regard to how the climate around blogs has changed. And yet, it really hasn't. Since 2006, when some people looked at me like I was crazy, and some people I was coaching at the time literally laughed right at me over the phone, I have and always will believe that your blog page on your website, not somewhere else, on your website, is your greatest beacon of forthrightness with regard to your business when it's done right. Your blog should accurately represent who you are, what your intentions are, what your philosophy is, and what the personality of your company is. The simple truth here is that if in your heart of hearts you really want to help people, this is the easiest part of it in this whole equation, in this whole list of five. However, people need to know that your blog exists in order to read it and ideally return to it. Make full use of Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google Plus even. Social media is your broadcasting channel. Are you making proper use of it? A blog with great information is worthless without the effort to let your audience know that it's there. Hell, it's a fundamental element of building your audience. Fundamental element. Say that three times real fast. Use your social media to broadcast your blog posts. And also have some honest, unique posts on your social media to communicate what you do, how you do it, and how much you care to your audience. And please, for the sake of everyone, don't talk so much about how you care. Let your posts and your overall content communicate that, including images. Incorporate images of you and your staff in the field doing your work, wherever that field may be. It may be a lab room in your own office building. Let people in a little bit. Those are your proverbial rock star action shots. And they are vital in connecting with your audience. incorporating images of you and your staff interacting with clients, with people. I would argue that a picture is worth more than 1,000 words. Now, fifth, and arguably most important, what risks are you willing to take? Where are you willing to go to get your point across? I'm not talking about ridiculousness here. I'm talking about how comfortable you are in your own skin when you're representing yourself and your business. When you're a little afraid, and we all are at times, though few of us want to admit it, I don't like admitting it, but I am. There are those times. The comforting tendency is to rely on the aforementioned tried and true. And I'm going to quote the great Pittsburgh Steelers coach, Chuck Knoll, won 4 Super Bowls. He's quoted by his players many times, especially Joe Green, as saying, the only time you're afraid, the only time you're nervous is when you don't know what you're doing. And I would challenge you with that. I challenge myself with that. Because it really is true. And that's why so often we default to the tried and true, because we don't know what we're doing and we're afraid of making the wrong decision based on the fact that we really don't know what we're doing. The reality is that in order to truly set yourself apart, you have to stop thinking about what everyone else, or stop thinking about everyone else, and put yourself, your personality, your company's personality on full display, warts and all. My favorite example of this is the band Rush. Love them or hate them, this story is inspiring. Their 1976 album, 2112, is now regarded as, today, it's regarded as a masterpiece and arguably the greatest progressive rock album of all time. It was their first gold album and the album that drummer Neil Peart refers to as their Declaration of Independence. After that album, their record company basically accepted everything they submitted. Nothing was rejected. And they went on to overwhelming success and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame eventually. To achieve this required great risk. And this is documented in interviews with them, and it just gives me goosebumps to think about it, because this is guts. They were signed by Mercury Records in 1974 because their independently released self-titled album sounded like a Canadian Led Zeppelin or even Bad Company at times. And that's what their record label was thinking of. Oh, we have our own version of these guys. By their second album, the label was scratching its head at some of the long songs they were starting to incorporate, like Bytor and the Snow Dog. And their third album, Caress of Steel, had their first epic piece, The Fountains of Lamneth, that took up the entire second side. Well, that third album tanked, and at least compared to the first two albums, and the band members referred to the ensuing tour as the Down the Tubes tour, because the crowds were getting smaller and smaller, and they were sure that their record label was going to drop them. But they loved what they were doing. They were committed to the direction they were going. So their record label gave them one more chance, and the label was expecting some radio-friendly singles. What they got was another epic 20-minute piece on one side, and then a second side of some shorter songs that were all good in their own right. In recent interviews, the band has revealed that they thought everyone would hate the album, but if they were going down, they were going to lose their contract, they were going down fighting on their terms. They were willing to go back and work at their father's respective plumbing and auto parts businesses rather than to be something that they're not. And that's why I say this is one of the greatest stories of guts I think I've ever read. And it happens to be about one of my favorite bands. They wound up creating an album whose core message of individual thought, and is that not what's resonating through this podcast today? Individual thought. It's resonated with generation after generation. Even if you're not a Rush fan, the message here is all about risk. It's kind of crazy to think of how a great singer can sound awesome when you see them live, but in the studio, when that red record light goes on, many of them are restrained because they're too worried about being perfect and not worried enough about letting loose and being themselves. Your website is your recording. People can go there and look at you and see and read what you have to say over and over again. Don't let that scare you. Don't be afraid to be opinionated in your blog posts and social media posts. Granted, don't insult your audience. Don't be ridiculous about it. And by all means, be respectful to your audience. But you can state your opinion and be respectful. You don't have to be overtly confrontational. There's nothing wrong with a little confrontation, but it doesn't have to be over the top. Your opinion and insight and your overall take on your work and your industry are what ultimately set you apart and allow you to connect and build trust with your audience. Who are you? True progress exists outside of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid of it. It's waiting for you. It's right there, and you can have it. If there's any one question that is most important above all with regard to your website, it's that one. Who are you, and does your website honestly and effectively answer that question? Thank you for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast today, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever. Thank you for following on Pinterest and for your questions. We love them. Keep them coming, friends. We love answering your questions. Make sure you check out our new website at welcometomind.com. Kind of proud of that, and I think you'll have fun with it. Till then, we'll see you next week.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. And till next week, make sure you mind your business. Doobity-doo-wop-wop, say what, yeah.